Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. And this morning we talked about how do you value your salvation. And the intent in my heart that I believe the Lord led me to is that we get complacent about our salvation sometimes. And I was talking to Brother, I think, and I made a comment, familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes we hear it so much. How many times have you mentioned or heard the word salvation mentioned in a church service? I mean, you probably can't even begin to imagine how many times you've heard someone talk about salvation, being saved, and so forth. And sometimes when you hear something so much, it's very easy to become complacent about it. I've heard that before, and you just kind of... like something new that just kind of like sparks your interest, and well, this is old stuff. We've been there, done that, heard that. But salvation should never be that way. It should never be old. It should never be something that we don't get excited about. The very mention of salvation should invoke visions of wonder in our minds as we anticipate the day that the Lord comes and takes us home to glory, and we experience that total salvation of the body, soul, and spirit, and be free from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin that we're struggling with today, and then one day to finally be free from the presence of sin. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? I think of all these different songs that declare the glory of God and the wonder of the eternal life that we have, and yet we hear it so much that sometimes we don't even get excited. Someone talks about Christ dying on the cross, and it doesn't even stir us to an emotional expression. How long has it been since you've shed a tear because you've heard about how Jesus suffered and why he suffered like he did? And it's because we become, you know, just like hardened to it, almost desensitized. It's kind of like over in Timothy, our conscience has become seared, and you understand that means it's like in the olden days, in the cowboy days, I think of John Wayne, that kind of thing, when a person would get injured, shot or something, they would take a bullet and they would pull the head off the bullet, and they'd take the gunpowder and pour it on the wound, and then they would light it, and it would sear that wound. It would cause it to quit bleeding and cauterize it, is what we call it today. You get a wound cauterized. And sometimes we get our spirit becomes cauterized because we hear things. And what happens is when you would cauterize a wound, that wound would form a scar, and I'm sure many of you have scars. Well, that scar, there's no nerve endings in those scars. And so you can put a pin in it, you know, and not too deep, but you won't even feel it because of the nerve ending. And I think that's what happens to us sometimes. We become dead to emotions of these wonderful truths that are taught in church. And we should try when we come into the house of God to prepare ourselves and to say, Lord, help me to hear these words and help them to have an effect on my heart and my life, to the changing of my thoughts and attitudes and my actions. And so we start that by thinking about how valuable our salvation is. And to go along with that, I think there is another aspect that we need to realize is that when we don't have the proper understanding of our salvation, the proper appreciation of our salvation, we begin to become confused and worried and troubled. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about, is your heart troubled? And if there's ever a time in our lifetime, at least, we live in troubled times. We've been through a lot and various things. I hope not to get into political issues about it. I'm not concerned about that. I like to be like Isaiah when he said over in chapter 6, you know, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He wasn't looking out here, he was looking up there. And God's still on the throne and God's still in control. And nothing's going to happen that God doesn't want to happen or even that God doesn't bring about to happen for his ultimate glory and honor. And so it says here in John 14 and verse 1, we'll read down to verse 6. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And we're talking about, is your heart troubled? And And I'm sure that it has been, or it may even be today, your heart's troubled over some things. And we'll mention a few possibilities down through the message. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to get into the theological aspect of this. In my Father's house are, present tense, many mansions. But he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I personally believe that's the bride. He's talking about his bride, preparing a place for his bride. And because there's already mansions there. And the word mansion just means abode or dwellings. In my Father's house are many dwellings. And if you get into the customs of the day, when a bride would become betrothed to her husband, the husband was given release from the father of the bride to go and build, or his own father, and go and build a dwelling for his bride. And usually that dwelling was built within the same compound of the father, and sometimes even attached to the house of the father. And then he would build that compound, and then he would say, okay, Dad, I'm going to get my bride. And the dad would come out and say, oh, no, you're not. You're not bringing her to this house. You're not done yet. You got to finish this. You got to do that. And so he wasn't allowed to leave until it was satisfying to the father. Of course, that fits, you know, what we understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, he's going to come when the father tells him to come. No man knows the day or the hour but the father. And that's why. That custom of that time would demonstrate that. And so then finally he would finish his compound. He'd finish his house, wherever it was, attached to the house or the compound. The father would say, okay, son, go and get your bride. And the groom would go and get an entourage, people playing, you know, joyful music, and they'd have lanterns. And of course, goes into the lanterns and the ten virgins and all this kind of stuff. And he'd go marching to get his bride, and the bride would hear him coming, and maybe she was sleeping. Maybe she had, you know, the mud pack on her face, you know. Do women still do that? I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. Diana, shoot me. I know which side my bread's buttered on, and it's still got to be buttered for a few days. So, but, you know, she'd be sleeping or whatever it is, and then she'd have to get up and get ready. She'd hear the trumpet sounding. Here comes my groom, and he's coming to get me, to take me to consummate that marriage, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So that's what this is in relationship to, I believe. A lot more teaching involved in that, but just a little snippet there. And he says, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. People ever ask you where heaven is? Have you ever tried to figure out, is heaven in the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension, or it's out there on the dark side of Jupiter? Where is heaven? Well, I'll tell you, I have the answer to where heaven is, if you guys want to know. I'll tell you later. No, I'll tell you right now. Heaven is where Jesus is. That's where heaven is. Wherever Jesus is, that's where heaven is for us, is to be in the presence and to see him face to face. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am, the great I am, from Exodus chapter 3, the eternal, existent, sovereign God, the creator of all things. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Now, so you notice the first verse, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Go on down to verse 27 and 28. And he says here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let me say something here about that peace. Jesus says, I'm going to leave you peace, but it's not the kind of peace the world expects and what they think. It's a peace that is not absent of trouble. It's a peace that's not absent of tribulation. It's a peace that's not absent of heartache, or disappointment, or discouragement. It's a peace that passes all understanding, Paul says in Philippians. It's a peace in spite of all of that. You can still be at peace. And that's the kind of peace that we ought to demonstrate to the world. They look at the things going on in the world, and the problems, and all the trials, and the world is up in arms and ready to blow up, and everybody's putting their worry and stuff in a package of, you know, different political issues and stuff. But that's not peace. And we have peace even though all that's going on. We can just march right along. And you know why we can have peace? Because I read the back of the book. We win. You know, we know who's going to win. We are. And I also know that Jesus says that we can have that peace. He says, peace I leave you, not as the world gives you. That's a fake peace. That's a peace if everything's just perfect and you never have a cold, never have a problem, never have financial trouble. I can give you peace even amongst all those kind of things, he says. And then he says, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto my Father. My Father is greater than I. So he said, I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to take you to my Father, and you're going to have that wonderful, wonderful, eternal peace that we're talking about. If you go to chapter 16 of John, in verse 33, Jesus speaking here, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Peace. That peace he talks about in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Not that you might have tribulation, or you could possibly have tribulation. He says, you shall have tribulation. And our pastor, one of the words that he loves is that word shall, because he means that it will be so. It's not a guesswork. You will have tribulation in this world. Paul wrote over in, I think it's Thessalonians, he said, in this world, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Not might suffer persecution. If you're living godly, you're going to have persecution. If you're not having persecution, you better look in the mirror and see how godly you're living. Maybe you're not living godly enough to threaten this world and cause them to persecute you. But he goes on down and he says, these things are right unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Why? Because as he said over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if we're letting our heart be troubled, we're not understanding that we don't have to. We don't have to be troubled over the things that are going on in the world. We can be at perfect peace with God because we know who's in charge. We know that he never moves without purpose or plan, as the song says. And we know that there's something going on that he wants to happen. If he wants it to happen, you can worry all you want to. It's still going to happen. And you might as well just accept it and understand that, hey, my God is in charge. I don't have to worry. There's a song. I like to use songs in messages. I don't know why, but that's just the way my mind works. But I don't know if you ever heard the song, Troublesome Times Are Here. You know that song? Does that fit today or not? Troublesome times are here, filling man's heart with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear, now is at stake. Isn't that the way the world is thinking today? Isn't that the way Christianity is thinking today? Humbling your hearts to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Homeward we then shall fly, glory to share. We have peace today. No matter what's going on, no matter who's sitting in the White House, who's sitting in the governor's mansion, no matter who's king over whatever nation, it doesn't matter. Our God is on the throne. And he turns the hearts of kings to do his bidding like a river. Everything that's going on, God is not sitting up there thinking, oh, man, I wish I had known that was coming. Boy, if I had known that was coming, I would have done something about it. God knew it was coming. Very likely God knew it was coming because he brought it. He brought it to shake us loose from this world. And if he brought wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah for the sins that they did, what would he do to America for the sins that we're living and the sins that we're accepting? And so we shouldn't be surprised by that, all the things that are going on. The Bible says in some of these verses, in Psalms chapter 38, verse 6, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. Now, this was a psalmist, and if you've read through the Psalms, one of the things that will stand out to you is that many of the Psalms, David or the writer, Asaph or whichever one it might be, they start out complaining about life. God, have you forgot about me? Did you lose me, God? Why are you letting me go through this? But every one of them, by the end of the psalm, David says, oh, you didn't move, God. I did. I'm the one that moved out of your sight. And I'm the one that rebelled against you. I'm the one that became stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And he always comes to realize that God's still in charge. And God will deliver him. 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul writes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, you read that chapter, and you read what Paul went through, and then you look at our lives, and I'm thinking we're coming up a little short of going through what Paul went through. Especially if you read here, or chapter 11, shipwrecked, beaten, betrayed by his brethren, betrayed by his people, his blood people, beaten three times, almost to death, and some believe he even possibly was stoned to death at one time over there in Acts. And Paul says, I'm troubled on every side, but not distressed. I'm not perplexed. How can you be troubled? Because we are in a troubled time. And we see troubles all around us, all manners. And I'm not going to get into naming all the different things going on. You know what they are. But we don't have to worry about them. Our God is in control. Now, well, I'll save that and tell you later in case the Lord don't want me to, then he'll let me forget. But I'll mention something a little bit later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, there he tells us, he says, for when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side without any doubt, were fightings, and within were fears. So we can see that being troubled is nothing new. People have been troubled throughout the ages. How did they approach the trouble? How did they deal with the trouble? How did they handle the trouble? How did they let the trouble affect their Christian experience, their life, their testimony? And that's the thing that worries me a little bit, I'm afraid, although I'm not supposed to worry. The Bible says, be anxious over nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace that passes understanding will keep your heart in perfect peace, you know. So, but we do worry, don't we? Anybody in here don't ever worry? I mean, we worry. We might not worry like others. We might not fret as much as others. But all we have to do is sit around and be quiet for a little while, and people will relate to you that they're worried about something. They might not even know they're worried themselves. But they'll start talking about their finances or their health or their marriage or their children. Whatever it is, we're given to worry. And worry is the absence of what? Trust. Worry is the absence of trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. That's what. That was my wife's favorite verse. That was her life verse. And he tells us, just trust. Just acknowledge him. Lord, you're in control. Now, I say here, and this is not a good or bad thing if you do it. I just don't do it for myself. But I don't watch the news. Number one, I don't believe any of them. And number two, I just get depressed when I do watch it. Why do I want to end up getting depressed? You know, I don't want to get discouraged, and I don't want to have doubts. And so I don't watch the news. If you do, that's okay. You watch the news, and then you can go to repent later and ask the Lord to give you peace. But how could you possibly have peace and watch the news? I don't know how you do it. I'm sure some people can. But we want to talk about this simple message about troubled hearts, because we went through so much. One of the things that stood out to me the past couple years during the COVID and all this kind of stuff was every church service I went to, it seemed to be the center of the topic. Into the door, everybody's fretting over the COVID and the vaccine and how it's going to kill off the whole world. And you leave, or the message gets done being preached, and before the amen is cold in the ears of the receivers, people are worried again. Oh, what's going to happen with all this? You know what the government's going to do to us? It may be, it may not be, But let me tell you, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, he says. Believe in me. I am in charge. I am bringing these things about. And if we're upset with God for bringing these things about, that's dangerous ground to be on. If God is bringing these things about to punish America, should we be praying for America to be healed? Have you ever thought about that? If God is punishing America, should we be saying, Lord, stop punishing us? Or should we say, help me to bear up through the punishment and to deal with the punishment? So I believe that all of God's people at one time or another, you read through the Bible, we're not unique to this. Moses had trouble. David had troubled heart. Paul, he told us in the verses that we read up in chapter 7, verse 5, you know, he had fightings within and troubles without. They all had troubles at different times. But how they dealt with those is what we want to search and find as we study our Bibles to help give us a way to not to be worried and not to be troubled. The Bible says one of the signs of the last days in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, is that men's hearts begin failing them for fear. Have you ever seen a time when people, and especially Christians, have been so afraid? So afraid of what's going to happen, of what's going to happen to our country, and what's going to happen to the world. And it's just, they're overcome with fear. But the Lord says, Paul says over in Timothy, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of strong minds, confidence that Christ is in charge and he's going to take care of us. And we can walk with our head up to the heavens, looking at the throne and seeing that he's still there, still in charge, still controlling, still turning the king's hearts to do his bidding, still working in our hearts to give us peace that passes all understanding. We just have to recognize him in that and submit to it. One of the problems that we have and why we're troubled is that we have more access to news today than ever before. Remember when the Iraqi war broke out? We sat at home, thousands of miles away, and watched a war unfold, live on television. Planes dropping bombs and missiles and all these things happening live on television while we're sitting there, thousands of miles away. We have instant access to instant information about everything. You hear about all of the different movements and all of the different riots. A riot happens in Washington, and 2 minutes later, we hear about it, and we see it, and we become fretful, become worried, and we don't know what in the world is going on with the world. And instead of looking up to the Lord, instead of praying and running to the Bible, we start to fret, and we start to worry in what's happening, and we become troubled in our hearts. Suicide is up astronomically. Death over stress is at the highest point that they've ever recorded. People being stressed out over the things that are going on in the world. Political, moral, all these things. Just stressing everybody out. Wearing everybody out. Because they hear about it instantly. You can hear about things going on in the Ukraine war and Russia and all of these things going on, and you know all around the world, and you envision the world falling apart. It's the end of the world. Well, I've got news for you. It is getting close to the end of the world. The Lord says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You think we're in perilous times? I think we're in perilous times. Dangerous times. There's no doubt. But I still know that Jesus is still on the throne, and he's still in charge. And he's still taking care of us. We didn't hear that when we were young guys. We didn't hear about all of the pandemics and the pestilence and the vaccines. And we didn't hear all of that. And the ones today who are hearing all of that, that all of those things are going on, are becoming more and more fearful. Fearful concerning health. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with our health care? What's going to happen with these viruses, if we're told that we have to take them or go to an encampment, and everybody is just full of fear. Fear of our finances. Have you heard the latest? I mean, they're going to devalue the American dollar. My $10 is going to $5. I mean, they're talking about getting rid of currency altogether. You got money in the bank, 401k, and can you not be worried? Can you not have fear? When all these things are being broadcast and being talked about, fear is concerning our families. Our families aren't safe. We hear our children going to public schools, what they hear and taught all the time, the transgenderism and identification and doing away with personal nouns, he and she, and instead they want to call them it, they, and them, and all of these things. And man, if you hear all that all the time, and all, you know, the world is falling apart. It has to bring fear. And our hearts become troubled. And we become stressed. We become overloaded and overbearing because of these things. There's fear in the future. Now listen, I can tell you, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, why should we borrow tomorrow's problems for today? The evil of today is sufficient in itself. I believe that's in Matthew chapter 6, the last verse, I think, if I remember correctly. We have fears concerning our enemies. People hate us today. We're not liked. We don't like Christians today. And the more Christian you are, if I can use that phrase, the more Christian you are, the more you're hated. It's evil to good, and it's good to do evil, and people can't stand to be around us, and they call us haters and bigots and all of these things. They talk about tolerance, but only if you tolerate what they do. They don't tolerate what we do. And so we're constantly worried about those who are our enemies, our foes. They feel fear of failure. In this world, success. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to climb the corporate ladder and all of these things that are going on today. So what's the answer? What's the answer to a troubled heart? Well, we mentioned one already, and that is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. No matter what it is, when you start to be troubled, when you hear the worst news possible to you, whatever that may be, then just stop and think for a minute. Is God still on the throne or not? And you have to answer yes, don't you? You have to. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. He can turn all these events around. You know, if he wants to change the world, if he wants to tarry his coming to another 1,000 years, he can do that. Now, I personally believe that his coming is imminent, and I believe it's going to be soon. I believe it's in our lifetime. And that being so, I'm not a whole lot worried about what goes on in this world. Except for our children, of course, having to deal with it, which can be troublesome itself. But we need to trust. Trust is the opposite of fear. Troubled heart comes from not trusting. Peace that passes understanding comes from trusting the Lord. I had one time a person ask somebody about me that I was in Peru, and I was walking around, and I'm a pretty jolly fellow. I like to kid around and joke around and pull people's chains, that kind of stuff. And I was walking around, and we're on this island of Timchaka, I think it was called, and somebody walked up to one of the other young preachers that was with us. He said, can I ask you a question? Why is he always smiling? He said, anytime you see him, he's smiling. Why is that? And I didn't know I was doing it, but life's too short to be stressed. To be worried, to be fretting, to be fearful. And it's a poor testimony. Oh, listen, did I ever tell you about my God? He's a sovereign, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, all-knowing, loving God. But I sure don't know what's going to happen next week. You know, what kind of God is that? We tell him we believe in the God that has everything under control and can do everything, and then we worry and fret over what he's not doing. Maybe because we don't want what he's not doing. So fear can come into our lives and it can ruin us. We can have a troubled heart. It can control us. Have you ever been controlled by fear? Have you ever been so stressed out and worried about life in general that it affects the way that you sleep, affects the way that you wake up, affects every aspect of your life all the time? We don't have the faith that we ought to have. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith should occupy our hearts instead of fear. Anytime we start to fear, we should exercise faith. Fear imprisons us. Faith frees us. When we have faith in the Lord, we're free from all of the troubles and worries that the world gets caught up in. Fear paralyzes us. We are so fearful, we're afraid to do anything, make any decisions. But faith encourages us. When we have faith in God, we become encouraged. Fear sickens us. It's a proven fact that fear, stress, can cause you to have physical and emotional and mental, and I believe spiritual, sickness by having those things overwhelm you all the time. But faith heals us. When we have faith, we have a calm spirit, that peace that passes all understanding in Philippians chapter 4. Fear makes us feel like life is hopeless. Life is just, there's no use even trying. Where faith causes us to rejoice and look for tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be a brighter day, because the Lord could come back tomorrow. Do you remember the story over in Luke chapter 10, a story about Martha and Mary and Lazarus? And Jesus comes to their house to visit, and Martha was cumbered about with troubles, with worry. Oh, I got to get this right. I got to get that right. This has to be perfect. And she's all stressed out. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, calm, cool, and collected. And Martha didn't like it. Lord, go tell Mary to come and help me. I'm cumbered about with much labor, with much trouble. And what did Jesus do? Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen that better part, to be at my feet, trusting me, studying about me, listening to what I have to say, and not being all stressed out. In Psalms chapter 25 and verse 17, it says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distress." Now, you know what that's saying? It's saying the troubles of my heart, the things that I think are so bad, are enlarged. In other words, I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Do you ever borrow tomorrow's sunshine for today? You worry about stuff so much today, you borrow your joy that you had tomorrow, but you've been so worried that tomorrow turns out to be gray. And that's what this is saying. Troubles in my heart have enlarged. They're bigger than what they really are. I've made them bigger. I've made them a mountain. And it says, oh, bring me out of my distress. I don't want to be distressed. I want to be at peace. I want to have that calmness that the Lord talks about. So what should we do? What should we do about being troubled, having a troubled heart? Number one, we need to recognize God's word tells us by command not to worry. It's not a suggestion. He says it's a command. He commands us not to worry. Now, again, I worry. You probably worry. But that doesn't mean it's accepted of God. It means that we need to work harder at not worrying. Go over to Philippians chapter 4 and let's look at what it has to say. Philippians chapter 4, and let's just begin reading in verse 4. He says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Now, Lord, truly you don't mean to rejoice when I'm worried. And truly you don't mean to rejoice when things aren't going my way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Recognize the Lord. Understand He's in charge. "Let your moderation be known in all unto all men, the Lord is at hand." By the way that you live, by the confidence you have in Him, let other people see that in you, that you can calm them by your calm spirit. Verse 6 says, "Be careful," or "be anxious," or "not to worry," is what that means, "for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So what should you do when you worry? When you get fretful? When you look at your checkbook and there's more month than there is money at the end of the checkbook, what should you do? You should pray. You thank God for what you do have. always remember to thank God. Every prayer we ever pray, we should remember, thank you, Lord. If nothing else, thank you for that great gift of salvation. But a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude. But he says, be thankful, pray under those kind of things. And then in verse 7, and doing that, not worrying, trusting God, being thankful, praying, he says, in doing that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means he's going to guard your heart from being troubled, stressed out, worried, anxious, depressed, doubting. If you will just trust the Lord, pray, thank the Lord for what he's done for you, he will guard your heart and your mind so that you won't think about those things. We get caught up in some of the silliest things and worry over them. What football team's going to win a game? That was a big topic lately. What basketball team's going to win a game? World Cup soccer. You know, I'm not a soccer fan, so I really care less. I'm patriotic. I wish America would have won. But we get caught up in worry about that. You know, they start wars in some of those countries over soccer games. We think we're sports fanatics. I mean, they fight each other. They people get stomped to death when a team wins or loses. Isn't that silly to get caught up in such a thing as that? It guards your heart and it guards your mind. And then he says down a little further, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have both, what, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace, not only the peace of God, but the God of peace shall be with you. You notice what Paul said? These things you've heard of me. These things you have seen in me. I'm the one, you learned these things from me. Pastors and leaders of churches and so on and so forth. We're the example to other people of having confidence in God and not worrying, and the church members see that. He says, you've seen those things in me, and you should be thinking on these things. He says, do those. Do those things. Be faithful to do those things so that you can have the peace that passes all understanding. Troubled hearts. You're going to have troubled hearts. We're going to, because that's the way we are in our flesh. We worry, we fret. We're going to have troubled hearts. But the Bible tells us, let not your heart be troubled. It's a command. We are to pray and ask God, Lord, help me to overcome my doubt of you and my trust in myself. Because that's what it boils down to. We put ourselves in the place of God. We want to handle everything. We want it to be our way. Instead of trusting God and believing in the omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, unchanging God. The promise-keeping God that says that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be there for us. I've already quoted Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Psalms 6:1, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's as close as the mention of his name. When you're doubting, when you're fearful, just stop, bow your head, say, help me, Lord. Help me to not to be stressed. Help me not to be worried. Help me not to fret. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times. Not just the good times. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. Just trust him. Instead of running to the voting polls, and I think you should vote, but instead of being fretted about that, just run to the Lord and trust in him. Lord, you put on there whoever you want to be. I might not like it. I might not understand it. But Lord, help me to accept it. That's the secret to being calm and collective. When you constantly worry about it then you're questioning God if we believe that God is in charge of those things. Psalms 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will. That is a determination. I'll try. I will trust the Lord. What times I am afraid, I will purpose to trust the Lord. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now let's go to one more verse, and then we'll close. Psalms 42. Psalms chapter 42, we'll read verse 5 through 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? In other words, he's saying, why am I worried? Did you ever stop and just ask yourself, why am I worried? In charge? God's on the throne. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from Hermontes, and let's see where we are here, and from the hills of Azar. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of the waterspout, all that the waves and all that the billows are gone over me. Yet, even though it seems endless and disastrous, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I a mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And that's what happens when we worry. When we worry and fret and get all stressed out, our enemies are saying, where is that great God that you say that you trust? Where is that sovereign Lord sitting on the throne? You can't trust him to take care of these worldly matters? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. No matter what's going on, I'll put my trust in him. Why should I worry? God is on the throne. I run to Isaiah chapter 6 all the time. I just think of it over all kinds of situations. I think just like Isaiah, when the king died in that culture, the country was thrown into chaos. Brothers would kill brothers and sisters and so on and so forth if they were next in line for the throne. And so they would try to eliminate the competition so that they could become king. And it was all the turmoil. The enemies would hear that this great king had died, and now they're weakened because they don't have any leadership. And so now's the time to attack that country. So there would be famine and pestilence. Wars and rumors of wars, all of those negative things like we hear today. But Isaiah said, in that year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, why did he see the Lord? Because he wasn't looking out here. He wasn't looking at the world. He was looking up at God. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. He was looking in the right place. When we have a troubled heart, it pretty much can guarantee you, you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for financial deliverance, you're looking for doctors to be your deliverance, or whatever it may be. Instead of looking at God, we're looking down here, and for humans to be our help, when we always need to turn to God and trust him. Let not your heart be troubled. As bad as things are, God is on the throne. God is in charge. God is working in these things. I believe that he is actually bringing these things about in this country and in the world because I believe he's getting ready to usher in the end times, the rapture, and the millennial reign, and all these things. I believe that's coming at any moment. And for those things to come, these things have to happen first. So we should almost be thankful. Things have to be going on before the rapture comes. So look up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't worry about the world. God will take care of it. And he'll take care of us too.